continuing with Canto 3, Chapter 15.
We're now up to text 48. Translation. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental bliss enjoyed by the devotees of the Lord is completely different from the material happiness enjoyed by less intelligent persons. The less intelligent persons in the material world are engaged by the four principal benedictions called Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Generally, they prefer to take to religious life to achieve some material benediction, the purpose of which is to satisfy the senses. When, by that process, they become confused or frustrated in fulfilling the maximum amount of sense enjoyment, they try to become one with the Supreme, which is, according to their conception, mukti, or liberation. There are five kinds of liberation, the least important of which is called sayujya, to become one with the Supreme. Devotees don't care for such liberation because they are actually intelligent, nor are they inclined to accept any of the other four kinds of liberation, namely, to live on the same planet as the Lord, to live with Him side by side as an associate, to have the same opulence, and to attain the same bodily features. They are concerned only with glorifying the Supreme Lord and His auspicious activities. Pure devotional services, Shravanam, Kirtanam, pure devotees who take transcendental pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, do not care for any kind of liberation. Semicolon. Even if they are offered the five liberations, they refuse to accept them, as stated in the Bhagavatam in the third canto. This is the third canto. Materialistic persons aspire for the sense enjoyment of heavenly pleasure in the heavenly kingdom, but the devotees reject such material pleasure at once. The devotee does not even care for the post of Indra. A devotee knows that any pleasurable material position is subject to be annihilated at a certain point. Even if one reaches the post of Indra, Chandra, or any other demigod, he must be dissolved at a certain stage. A devotee is never interested in such temporary pleasure. From Vedic scriptures, it is understood that sometimes even Brahma and Indra fall down, but a devotee in the transcendental abode of the Lord never falls. This transcendental stage of life in which one feels transcendental pleasure in hearing the Lord's pastimes is also recommended by Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was talking with Ramananda Roy, there were varieties of suggestions offered by Ramananda regarding spiritual realization, but Lord Chaitanya rejected all but one. That when you hear the glories of the Lord in association with pure devotees, that is acceptable for everyone, especially in this age, one should engage himself in hearing from pure devotees about the activities of the Lord. That is considered the supreme benediction for mankind. So the very expert and most intelligent, the last two words of the verse, kushala means very expert, and rasa, gya, knowers of the mellows or humors. So most intelligent is how Prabhupada has translated it, but specifically it's knowers of rasa. Which means rasa, the happiness of rasa, can't be compared to anything of these four categories, dharma, artha, kama, and even moksha. Rasa Gya, Prabhupada named one of his disciples, Rasa Gya, wonderful devotee. Kushala, very expert. My guess is Kaushalya is derived from the same dhatu, Kushala, very expert. And that so those that are in that category, expert and very intelligent, knowers of rasa, they want one thing. Well, in Shikshastaka, they want devotional service, unalloyed devotional service. And the alloys, or the mixtures of devotional service, are the hankerings for these other things. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Right? Those are interesting. Is moksha a material thing or a spiritual thing? Because this is, you know, it's a puzzle. The way that it's spoken of, particularly by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that even if, by Rupa Goswami in particular, and thus, even if offered the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation, devotees say no. No. If Krishna wants that, the devotees will say whatever Krishna wants. This is on the highest platform, that the rasa gya personalities. My understanding of that mystery is they don't want it. If Krishna wants it, that's fine. If Krishna wants them to take birth here, there, anywhere to achieve his planet, fine. Now, does that mean Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw Lord Vishnu and Vishnu gave him this benediction, that he should stay on earth and become the ruler of his father's kingdom for a long, long, long time, and he was disappointed? Does that mean he was like unhappy with what the Lord wanted for him? You follow the question? If it's what the Lord wants for him, Hari Bol, fantastic. However, so he was hankering to be with the Lord. Now, he could be in service to the Lord remotely by hearing and chanting what's being described here, Rasa Gya. kataya, kirtanya, tirta yashaha, hearing the glories of the personality of Godhead. So that's what he did, Dhruva, for a long time. Or any other devotee that's a pure devotee of the Lord. So hankering for the Lord's association, that's good. It's not bad, it's good. At the same time, if the Lord's association comes through sound vibration, that's good too. So the hankering is for that association. And the medium, this is instructive, this is the instruction for us. That medium of hearing is the medium of association. Presently, in our present condition, you know, the covered, contaminated consciousness condition, it's direct association. An intelligent persons understand, aha. So hankering for the association of the Lord is hankering for that association through sound, through hearing, shravanam kirtanam. And from that shravanam kirtanam comes the other limbs of bhakti, but they're supported by, from the beginning, middle, and end, in the perfect mature stage. I mean, a classic example of that is Hanuman. When, on the one hand, when Ram left and took all of his entourage back to Ayodhya except Hanuman, he left Hanuman behind, which was, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni visits Hanuman, saying, "You're the greatest devotee." "I'm a monkey. And I always do monkey things because I'm a monkey. And most fortunate, Ram left and left me behind. I don't have his association." So that was how he was regarding himself. But the service was to chant his glories for the benefit of everyone. And so those that have Hanuman's association, that's what's going to happen. They're going to hear the glories of Lord Ramachandra. And that was the service he wanted. So, on the one hand, hankering for his association, and the other hand, having his association through sound. So, that is to say, Ram didn't abandon his beloved devotee Hanuman. Hanuman was not bereft of Ram's association. He was bereft of his association in a particular way, but through the medium of hearing and chanting his glories in Kim Purusha Varsha, he was constantly in the Lord's association. So he wasn't left bereft, although he was feeling like that because of his humility, natural humility, Vaishnava humility. Or another nice example, in Canto 1 Srimad Bhagavatam, when Yudhisthira Maharaj, now the king, sent Arjuna to Dwarka to find out what Krishna was up to, suspecting but not wanting to say it, that Krishna was going to leave. Arjuna was gone for a long time and he saw all these inauspicious omens and he knew what it meant, but he didn't want to say it. Krishna's departed. After some time, finally Arjuna came back and smashed, devastated. Krishna left. And then describing Krishna, his feelings of separation and love for Krishna, he then remembered the instructions that Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita, and from remembering those instructions in Bhagavad Gita, then a little light went on saying, Krishna gave me these instructions so that I could always be remembering him, Manmana. So that's for us. We have not, to our recollection at least, seen Krishna face to face, like the Kumaras are seeing Lord Narayana face to face. But the seeing of Narayana face to face, which is better? Seeing him face to face, A, or B, engaged in hearing and chanting his glories? Now one could see him face to face and not understand him. But the hearing and chanting his glories fixes one, awakens and fixes one in bhakti, and then whether you're seeing him face to face or not seeing him face to face, you're hankering to see him face to face, or seeing him face to face. You're present with the Supreme Lord through sound vibration because his glories and himself are non-different. His name and himself are non-different, etc., because of his absolute nature. So, the Bhagavatam is teaching us Bhagavat Dharma, this process of bhakti that begins with hearing and chanting. And so naturally, the Kumaras, being so knowledgeable, they're emphasizing the importance of hearing and chanting. And those who are intelligent and expert, that's what they want. They can be here, there, or anywhere. And they can be contented and happy and connected through bhakti yoga with the personality of Godhead by that Shravanam Kirtanam process. There's a very long, I haven't studied it carefully, I one day wish to do that, section of Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, in which he explains, while there's 9 processes of bhakti, and we don't know from Rupa Goswami's teachings any one of them is sufficient, Jiva Goswami makes a case, like a long section, that although any one, they must be accompanied by chanting. And this and that and the other. So, we don't engage in deity worship without chanting. We don't engage in padasevanam without chanting. We don't engage in bandhanam without chanting. It's essential to all the other 8 processes of bhakti. Atmanivedanam without chanting. It's not so. It's essential. So we're being given the essential through the Bhagavatam and by our disciplic succession, by our method of awakening our dormant Krishna consciousness. And when the dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, it's not that the Shravanam Kirtanam, we don't need it anymore. It becomes accelerated and deeper and more profound. And it maintains that connection. In a spontaneous state, it's spontaneous. Prabhupada gives a really interesting cultural example of spontaneous devotional service. And it goes like this. In Vedic culture, during Vedic times, and even Prabhupada said during his time, his mother and his grandmother and his own wife, etc., you know, the age at which they were married, very young. But, you know, Vedic culture, very, very young. Just like in Vrindavan. At the time of the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Krishna expanded himself into all the calves and cowherd boys, that 1 year that passed, Krishna made some arrangement that the boys would be married to the girls. So that Vedic system. But married, they didn't live together married. they stayed at their home. So Prabhupada explains, the parents of the girl, on occasion, holiday occasion, birthday occasion, whatever, they would train the girl how to make very nice items, very tasty, something. You know, in our Western culture, it's birthday cakes. But whatever. And then the girl would visit the home of the boy and deliver this nice, tasty thing. They go, oh, she's very nice. And by those exchanges, he and she, little boy, little girl, were married, and this is the way that we live. They're not mature, but some, through that regulation, guided by the elders, some affection develops. At least that's the principle, the notion. And then when they're mature, they live together, and it's so that practice during the beginning stage becomes spontaneous later. Similarly, we have our regulations in sadhana bhakti, and we do this and do that. And after some time, it becomes spontaneous. We look forward to doing this and doing that. We think of ways to do this and do that, like the deity worship. How to decorate the deity nicely, how to have a nice festival, how to this and how to that. Not by regulation, but by spontaneous attraction. And being very careful how to use time. Like, so time management. Initially, it's should be guided by intelligence. What's important, what's less important, what's unimportant, what should be eliminated. Guided by intelligence, we do time management. In the spontaneous stage, we know it's one of the symptoms of bhava. One is very concerned not to waste even a moment in Krishna's service. Becomes spontaneous, bhava. Until the bhava, the rasa of toward Krishna is awakened, we follow regulation. And the regulation tendency or regulations are meant to be joined with the chanting of the holy name and the shravanam kirtanam process. Without the Shravanam Kirtanam process, regulation doesn't bear fruit. It can do something on the temporary stage. But beyond the temporary stage, interesting, yesterday at the university program, there was one young fellow that was attending, and he was a reader type and an explorer type and an adventuresome type. And so we had some discussion, and he wanted to know, how do I find someone that can teach me yoga, but not the shadow kind, but the substance kind? Where did he get that? You know, he's been reading Prabhupada's books. So not just how to do asanas properly and pranayama properly. You need a teacher for that. That was in the general discussion. But then he wants, you know, a teacher that can take him beyond the shadow part. The shadow part is just do the external, and there's the inside is empty. The shadow of the real thing. He wants the real thing. He doesn't know exactly what the real thing is, but he wants the real thing. Awakening of our dormant propensity for serving Krishna, that's what Shravanam Kirtanam does. By hearing the glories, the yashaha, and the activities, and hearing, just as these previous verses, hearing the description of the form of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Katha, it not only makes the mind clean, but it stimulates the internal ecstatic love for Krishna. we may not feel stimulated in that way. But if we want to be stimulated in that way, that's the right methodology. Even if we don't want, it happens anyways. Somebody may be like a reader kind of person. And if they read Srimad Bhagavatam, it awakens attraction for Krishna. I'll tell a little anecdotal story and I'm going to end. One devotee couple that I know, they're both from Iyer Brahmin families in Tamil Nadu. And for their wedding, it was one of those torturous three-day weddings. And the young man noticed that his grandfather, the entire 3 days, was reciting something. So he asked, and the third day, he asked his father, "What were you reciting?" And he said, "Because I knew that you were going to be married, I made it my intention, sankalpa, to memorize Srimad Bhagavatam." He was just reciting from memory, chapter after chapter after chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this devotee looked at his grandfather and said, "But you're a worshipper of Lord Shiva." And his grandfather said, "In my lifetime, I've read so many books. You know me. I read books and books and books and books. But when I started reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I lost the attraction to read any other books. It's so sweet. It's so delightful." And, you know, not everybody has the capacity to memorize verses. Some of us struggle with it. But because his grandfather was inclined in that way, there's a study that's been done. I forget the person. It's a neurologist from Spain. Somebody sent this to me. Who, in it, during his time as a neurologist, he over here on the side had a fascination for Sanskrit. He became a scholar of Sanskrit along with being a neurologist. And then when he retired from being a neurologist, he took his Sanskrit interest and his neurology savvy to India and studied the effect of Sanskrit absorption by the pundits. That's what they do for several hours a day. That's their sport. That's their thing. That's their happiness. They like. And so they do. It's how they've been trained, and so it's... And they like. And so through those studies, using MRIs and whatever are the other things that neurologists do, he found... One of the things he found was that the capacity to remember is multiple times greater than persons that don't. So I share this with college students. If you want to be good in school, chant a lot of Sanskrit. Because then you remember stuff. And then you can always get good grades in your exams. You want to do well in school, right? So chant lots of Sanskrit mantras. You'll do very well in school. Now, how much they'll understand, that's another thing. But, you know, memory, and if that is guided, because another essential message of the Bhagavatam is guided by the bona fide spiritual master, etc. So the sound vibration has to be a proper sound vibration that you hear and chant. One needs a qualified teacher to guide one's life, etc., etc. To vibrate the sound, etc., etc. the transmitter has to be qualified. But even just to improve memory, some people are more gifted, other persons less, but whichever category you're in or is in that spectrum, mantra chanting helps memory, and Sanskrit chanting of mantras helps. It's not just the mechanical act, it's the vibrational effect. Your neurology changes. There's other studies that show that also. Specifically, you know, the hardware of the body changes. So, but that's not our goal, having our hardware change. It's awakening our Krishna consciousness, or here, rasa gya, the mellow taste of the spiritual, in a state of spiritual well-being, the soul's attraction for Krishna in a natural state. So there's practice, and then it gradually evolves and maturing in these higher stages. Tasting of rasa, spontaneous attraction. In our stage, we have to kind of bring the mind back. In the elevated stages, you don't have to bring the mind back. The mind just goes. Spontaneous attraction. And disinterest in other sound vibrations. Until that stage, we do the regulation program. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion. Shankadari.
Guru Maharaj, my hearing...
Microphone. Oh, you have it. Okay. Okay, and because you're by the speaker. Okay.
I'm realizing that my hearing is bad. When I hear something, I don't get the complete picture one time. I have to hear multiple times.
That's fine. That's standard. I mean, that's fine. It's standard. How thick is the covering? So keep working on the stimulation of the soul and the removal of the covering, those two things. Okay?
What should be the mood that I need to cultivate while hearing?
Krishna! That's just the mood. Please accept me. That's the mood.
And just follow up on the one statement you mentioned, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and reading it, the taste for doing other things in devotional service increases.
The taste for what?
Chanting or other...
Other forms of bhakti. They may or may not arise. We're different. Some people are very attracted to deity worship. Some persons not so much attracted. But so there's variety of attraction.
So I'm asking this question on behalf of another devotee who is hesitant to ask. He has so much taste for reading. He reads so much reading. He says he enjoys that.
Fine.
Rasa in reading, but is stuck at certain number of rounds, is not able to go beyond that.
Well, if he's reading properly and tasting happiness from reading properly, especially reading Prabhupada's books again and again and again, there's other instructions in that which he's hearing and reading. So if it's really effective, or as it becomes really effective, these other things will also be attractive, and one will do. Even if it's because it's good for me. Serving the devotees. Vaishnav Seva. Just from hearing. So if you keep doing that which gives taste, and you know, pay attention to those messages in that one is hearing, reading, that inspire, direct diversity. It's not like anyway. Kirtaniya Siddhahari, that's fine. And then the service of making that sound vibration, speaking the message. But then one needs to be an exemplary Vaishnava, that is to say, they show by example, the exemplary Vaishnava shows by example their various angas of bhakti, so they want to show that, not just say it. Effective hearing does that. Someone else. Oh, yeah.
In our Bhakti Riksha discussion, sometimes people ask, or basically they are shocked that, oh, I am spontaneously attracted to loving and serving God. But this sadhana bhakti and the rules and regulations of practicing bhakti, it like puts them off. How do we explain to them the necessity for that? But it might not be applicable for that person, but it's beneficial for majority of the people out there, but they are like, oh, this is not needed. I just love God. What is the need for all these things? That's the context they come from.
Well, several. It depends on the person how to respond to that view. Yadyadacharati shrestas. We follow the great souls. Mahajano yena katasa panta. That's what we do when we love God. We target our love of God according to the example set by great souls. Say it negatively. If I love God, but I don't love following the great souls, what does that say about love? Those who are at the feet of God, they're teaching me. They're showing by their example, prachara nachar. Now, I don't, what's the need of those great souls and the example they set? I'm above it. Something wrong with that picture. So then, why do they show by example? What's the example? The example is for persons that are not yet at the stage of... So the stage that you're in, my dear friend, my dear Bhakti Riksha member, fantastic. Keep going. Well, I don't need to keep going. I'm already there. Mm-hmm. Those regulations are not just for sinful people. It's for persons who are. It's to assist in the connection with the personality of Godhead, that which is pleasing to Him. That's what we want to do, and living your lives according to these standards is pleasing to Him. So we do. Well, I'm above pleasing Him. So why is it pleasing to Him? Because it makes us fit to enter into the kingdom of God. And if we're not submissive to the great souls and what which is pleasing to Him, what's something wrong with that picture? It's incomplete. Nothing, I mean, it's incomplete. Very good. And we accept these standards. And great souls who are above, here's Bhagavad Gita, great souls that are above such standards, they do anyway. Krishna says to Arjuna, because they're teaching by example. So we have people teaching by example, and they do. So you should, like Arjuna is being instructed by Krishna, you should do. You have love for Krishna, do what Krishna says. He's telling Arjuna, but he's telling us. Set example, if you're already there. Set example to others. But maybe if there's resistance, you're not already there. It's good. And so if the resistance continues, what are you going to do? The persons are making some choices and they have some conception of themselves and they want to preserve and maintain that conception of themselves. They don't really want to go the next step. As long as they're not, you know, broadcasting that message to others and say infecting others with that, hey, why are you bothering? I see you're bothering because you're not there yet. You should be like me and just get there, and then you don't have to do these things. I'll show you. Let's hang out together and we can be unregulated together. So if they start to do, I mean, not explicitly, but if they start to do things like that, then you have to draw a line in the sand. Maha Mantra.
Guru Maharaj, I'm wondering about the reference of the context of mukti in Tathyanukampam verse with regards to today's class. So what's coming to my mind is there are three points mentioned. One is, while performing bhakti, though we are suffering the reactions, and then going to the kingdom of God and awaiting Krishna's mercy. So I feel it is the mukti mentioned here is the devotional service itself. Is my understanding correct, Guru Maharaj?
The mukti mentioned in this verse or the mukti mentioned in that verse?
In Tathyanukampam verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Say the same, to confirm, there's 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam, described in Srimad Bhagavatam, not just our Acharya saying, but it's right there, two places. Mukti is one of the 10 topics. So what is mukti? Mukti hitvanyata rupam svarupena vyavastati, just like we discussed yesterday. Svarupena vyavastati. So that's the Bhagavatam's disclosure of what mukti is. So whether it's go back to Godhead or go here or there, go to Vaikuntha, go to the spiritual abode of the Lord in Heaven's association, one of those five kinds of liberation. The hankering is the sather, being engaged in service. The service begins with hearing and chanting. That's this verse. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, I was thinking about regulation.
You got to turn the volume up. Her voice is soft.
So the regulation.
Keep going.
If somebody is struggling with the regulation.
If somebody is struggling.
Struggling with regulation.
Okay.
So. Because of maybe,
whatever the reason.
Yeah, whatever the reason. I was just thinking how this hearing and chanting makes us even regulate our life, or do we have to concentrate on, you know, at least practice hearing and chanting at a regular time so that we can come to the regulation?
Well, that's refinement or recalibration of the direction or heading. That's good. But supposing somebody, you know, for however long it takes, they continue struggling. So it's not they're bad. There's encouragement. This will help you get the fullness of the benefit through regulation. And even if it's intermittent or not so regular, there's benefit. It's just going to be a little slower than if it's regulated. If the mind and senses are not regulated, they'll be agitated. And so regulation of hearing and chanting will strengthen the control of the mind and senses, and it'll help us, you know, go on the path of bhakti. So if someone is having difficulty over a period of time being regulated in their hearing and chanting, that's going to be their experience. Nobody likes to suffer. So the encouragement should be given, not like heavy, but encouragement should be given. This will be helpful for you. And then give some support for that somehow or another. Whatever, you know, let's read together, or, you know, join a reading group, or different things that are supports for regulation. And those that do in a regulated manner go, wow, this is really helpful. It was hard for me to regulate, but now part of something or other, it's great. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, from my side, and what is the support that I can now?
I just suggested you offer. Here's a list of 10 resources that can help you become regulated. Which one attracts you? Which one resonates with you? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So what would that look like? Here's some 5 different ways that one would look like. Which resonates with you? Great. Let's see what we can construct. You're just facilitating the inspiration within them. And then even you put, you know, this and that, they're still, you know, struggling, because it's the most of nature. Okay, struggling is okay. And in what way can I support you to become, you know, more fixed? And you want to go through the menu again and select differently? That's fine. So it's just, you know, like a parent and child, or a teacher and student, or a guide and someone being guided. It's a relationship. You're just facilitating that which is wholesome.
And for that, one has to have the understanding of how important it is to...
That's his question.
Regulation.
And if they don't understand, you go back to the why, before you go to the what and the how. I'm not so sure the why. Okay, fantastic. Let's discuss it. Are you open to discussing why? Okay. Let's have some discussion. Here's some things to read. Let's discuss these things that speak about the why. And then, you know, over there is the what happens if you don't. What are your thoughts about this? Why not? Let's discuss. And then it becomes clear. Okay, the why is clear. Now I'm ready for the what and the how. One of the things I appreciated, I didn't understand it so well, but one of the things I appreciated about Prabhupada's approach is he understood his audience, and the audience that he was addressing was the world, and the modern world, at least the people of my age, were trained academically and culturally challenge authority. Don't just accept things. You know, why? So he gave lots of whys. I mean, whether it was inspired by Super Soul or a particularly cognitive connection with the audience, they need to know why, because otherwise they're not going to do. It was really, it was like, great. Because my academic training was that one. Don't just accept, ask why. And he anticipated the why. Our acharyas do that too. And they're a commentary. Knowing what people out there, the opponents say, they address what the opponents say. Not like just to slap it down, but to, you know, why shouldn't I do this? Because that's what my training and my conviction and my conceptions of life are. So, why not this? Anyway. You read Prabhupada's book and you get the answers to the why questions. And then also the what and how. It's there. At least in principle, if not, you know, in some cases, there's detail. Anything else? Up front, microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, like sometimes we get...
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
Sometimes we get a little bit of time that we can use...
Sometimes you get a little bit of time.
I get a little bit of time for doing some sadhana, like suppose I get half an hour, 45 minutes of time, I can read or
great.
I can do some cooking kind of thing. But sometimes the spirits are high that I can do that. Sometimes if I have to cook, again I have to go for path and I feel a little lazy to do that. And that way, like...
Unsteady bhakti.
Yeah, so...
What to do? Become steady. What's the cause of unsteady? Anartha. So you do the Anartha Nivritti program and you become steady. How do you do the Anartha Nivritti program? You do Bhajana Kriya carefully, attentively, regularly, sincerely, calling out, Krishna! Like that. Until then, you'll remain unsteady. Sometimes and sometimes not. Sometimes not. Unsteady. To get steady, an Anartha Nivritti. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anyone else? Okay, well then, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.